I just wanted to let you know before we get into Holy Communion and all of that, that if you're visiting with us today, whatever tradition you're from, you're welcome to receive Holy Communion with us. And I'm not sure what the custom is in some of the churches, but this is actual wine. So you can take it either bread and wine or bread or wine. And we have gluten-free wafers available as well. I just know we have a lot of guests today, so I just want to let you know that. And if you'd like to come up and not receive communion, you just cross your arms and indicate that you'd like a blessing prayer instead. But that's one of the things that I love about days like today, that we have so many people who are visiting, who are guests with us, that we don't normally get to see. And I got to tell you, I love baptizing people. It's one of my favorite things about being a priest. And yes, I do love baptizing beautiful babies like this and small children, but I've also baptized adolescents and even adults, and it gives me the same joy because I believe, and the church has always taught, that baptism changes us. It's not just that baptism marks us like a tattoo. We call baptism an outward and visible sign of inward and spiritual grace. My kids used to love getting their faces painted at carnivals. That's an outward sign that you've been to a party with a face painter, right? Fingernail polish is an outward and visible sign that you've been to a nail salon, or in our house that my daughters have decided to have a nail painting party. Tattoos used to be an outward and visible sign that you were in the military, or that you were a biker, or that you'd had a wild night on vacation. But all of those things wash off or chip away or can be removed by a plastic surgeon when your significant other tells you that there's no way on earth they're going to marry someone with another person's name tattooed on them. Baptism is an outward and visible sign of inward and spiritual grace, we say, but how is that? Because you can't just look at a baptized person and tell they're baptized, right? But baptism is visible in the sense that there are witnesses to it, meaning today, all of you here in this church. And of course, as well, every saint and angel in heaven and God himself is a witness. And it is permanent in this sense. No matter what we do, no matter what we say, in baptism, we are marked as God's own forever. That can never be undone. Every human child, every human being is a child of God, but this is different. Baptism is a mark of the covenant in Jesus Christ that is made with the church. We think baptism is just about us, but it's bigger than just Ella or any one of the thousands of other Christians who have been baptized in our church over the decades and now centuries. It's a sign to us gathered here and to God of our recognition of and devotion to our Lord. Lord isn't God's nickname, you know. It's a statement of fact. It's a statement of his position vis-a-vis everything. We elect presidents, governors, and mayors, and they exercise power over us in order, hopefully, to govern us with justice and equity. When we say that Jesus Christ is our Lord, or that God is our Lord, we're acknowledging before God and one another that he is rightly our master, our governor of how we live. Baptism is not our inoculation against sin, our eternal get-out-of-jail-free card. It's more like being knighted or ordained. In the book of Revelation, St. John writes at the very beginning, "Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth." To say that Jesus is the ruler of the kings of the earth is to say that all those other authorities over us, whomever they are, by whatever right they claim to rule over us, they are subordinate to the highest ruler in the universe, Jesus Christ. So if they tell us something, and Jesus tells us something different, that makes them, in a sense, outlaws. To be baptized, then, is to recognize that our highest responsibility in life is to God. to the conscience that God placed within us, and to know also that God expects our obedience and service. Now, I may be a bad servant at times. I may be a disobedient follower of Jesus at times, but I know who rules not just my life, but Donald Trump's life, and Vladimir Putin's life, and Queen Elizabeth's life, and every other person on earth, from the smallest infant to the most powerful billionaires and world leaders. St. John says the same sort of thing. Of Jesus, of course, to him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. This is a prayer John offers to God on behalf of the church that says exactly what I just told you. If we have been made a kingdom, that means we have a king. And we aren't baptized into being just any old subjects of any old king. You are priests serving God the Father, who is our eternal Lord. Which means you probably need to know exactly what a priest does, right? Now, my priesthood is one kind and yours is another. Priests stand between things, like open doorways. In my case, I'm supposed to bring your prayers and concerns to God and lead the Holy Communion, the ritual sacrifice, on your behalf. But I'm also supposed to lead the proclamation of God's Word through the reading of Scripture and preaching and bring you back your own offerings of bread and wine transformed by God into the body and blood of Jesus. Your ordination is of a somewhat different sort. The people of the church, whom we call the body of Christ, are priests in the world. Your ordination is exercised by bringing yourselves and all your relationships and concerns from the kingdom of God all around us into the presence of the gathered faithful of God and into the presence of the altar of God. And you bring back to the world yourselves, sanctified each week to God's purpose, in order that the world can know the hope that it has through God, the love that God has for everyone around us. Each of you might be the way that someone who is desperate or lonely or struggling for meaning or living in darkness comes to know God's healing grace. That is your priesthood. And today, we are baptizing Ella into that fellowship of priesthood to the world around us. The fellowship that all of you who are baptized are already supposed to be exercising. Part of what we do during the baptism is witness the promises that Ella's parents and godparents make on her behalf. And the other part is that we reaffirm our own commitment to do all the things that we've already been doing, hopefully, or rededicate ourselves to them if we haven't. And it's probably a combination of those two things, reaffirming or rededicating, if I'm any indication. I'm not a perfect priest, far from it, and you're not perfect priests either. You know better than I do how close you are to what God expects of you. But we serve a loving and forgiving Lord, thankfully. And yet, it's important to remember that Jesus is our Lord, not our buddy, not our teacher, not our mascot. Now, my prayer is that as Ella grows into the fullness of life in this world, that all of you will be here. All of you will be there to testify to what it is to serve our Lord in joyfulness, hope, forgiveness, and abundance. My prayer is that through your discovery or rediscovery of your own priesthood, you'll give her the opportunity to bless the world just as we all hopefully do. Amen.